Try that. I rejoice this morning that we can gather in such a way, and as I look at the many faces that are here, many of whom I know, some of whom I don't know so well, but I just feel a deep gratitude this morning for all of you brothers and sisters who are a part of my life and who I have this joy of serving our Lord and Savior together with you. It's, when we think about Jesus, who he is, what he has done, the salvation he has given us, the peace and the joy, it is with much gratitude. And it's easy for us, it's easy for me to take things for granted. The things that you all do, the prayers that you lift up, just the care for each other. We can easily in our family life and in our church life take those things for granted. And I just want to take this time this morning to say I love and appreciate all of you. And I want to bless you those rich heavenly blessings that Jesus came and bestowed upon us. Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. I feel great need for the Spirit of God to move and to guide my lips, that this word that I felt called and burdened to share . And as I look at all the visitors that are here, this message doesn't feel very spiritual. I've been wrestling and struggling as to why God chose this morning and why you all came this morning. But nonetheless, we're glad that you're here. And I trust that God will work and that God will be faithful as he has always been. So let's pray. You may arise and we'll pray. Holy Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude, with great joy, that we may be considered, that you have accounted for us as sons and daughters, and that we, by the blood of Jesus Christ, may be heirs of eternal life, that we may even inherit today life and peace and joy, freedom from guilt and shame, freedom from the bondages of sin and the grips that Satan would entangle us with. God, we love you and we praise you, and we ask this morning that you would touch our hearts, that you would come and be in our midst, that we may be able to know you more closely, to know you more deeply. Father, I pray especially that you would anoint my lips and that we may be able to hear your word, to hear the message that you have for us today. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would move. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. See if we can get this to work. The message today is part three of a three-part series titled, Did I See You Say That? Did I See You Say That? The heart of these messages is to remind us that we're communicating a very powerful message even without saying a word. A message that can be so powerful that the words we speak lose their power. A message is communicated by the choices we make in life. The choices and the actions of our life communicate a message that may circumvent what God's word wants to communicate to the people who hear or who see what we are saying. So we're going to do a quick review this morning of the first part to remind us of what we looked at there. And for those of you who weren't here for those parts, the first message was titled, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And the second message was titled, "Biblical Principles on What We Wear." In that first message, I asked the question, if every family were like our family, would I be comfortable with the church? If every family had made the changes that I made or that we made as a family or that you made as your family, would we be comfortable with the direction of the church? We asked the question, if every brother interacted with the brotherhood as I do or as you do, would we be a church that we'd be comfortable fellowshipping with, being a part of? We looked at the words in Peter, 1 Peter 5, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 1. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." How does it affect our choices when we are holy, when we are separated unto God? We looked at what happened with the people who saw the holiness of God, who saw the glory of God. We considered the disciples at the Transfiguration when they were up on the mountain, they saw Jesus and the glory. We considered Daniel's vision. We considered Isaiah at the time that King Uzziah died. There was trembling and fear when men saw the holiness of God. But they wanted to stay in his presence. There was a drawing. They liked to be there. They fell on their faces. They recognized their undoneness. There was a reverence for God when men saw his holiness. We looked at the definition of holiness and what holiness of God is and looks like. We considered holiness as we see it in God's hatred for iniquity. The importance of putting a difference between the unholy and the holy, such as Aaron's sons and the rebellion of Korah. We considered holiness by looking at God's glory, such as Moses in the mountain when he came down and there was such a glory that shone from his face that he had to put a veil over his face. What is our response to God's holiness and his expectation for us to be holy as he is holy? What if we saw God's glory? What if we saw an angel or his holiness, the brightness of his image? Would it change how we make choices in life? In the second message, Biblical Principles on What to Wear, we considered the contrast of churches that have a stand against standards. Churches who say, we're not, just whatever people want to do, we'll preach the word and The word of God will convict and move people, and they don't talk about the practical applications. We consider that in contrast to churches that have a very strict dress code and add many extra biblical things, and neither of those produce holiness. Neither of those help us to be holy as He is holy. More importantly, we looked at what will it take for us to remain faithful. What will it take for us as a church to be a pure and spotless bride? What will it take for us as individuals? Every father and mother, every son and daughter, brother and sister, to be holy, to be spotless. What will it take for us to raise a godly seed that this is not just a single generation effort? And in one or two generations, there's no semblance of holiness. We considered the father's role in the home, in leading our families to a clear place. We looked at a number of biblical principles, which we will be referring to today. And I will go through that list, and then as we go through the message today, we will be looking at practical applications from these principles. The principles that we looked at, check boxes as we evaluate the choices that we make. Does it conform to the world, or does it separate? We consider what the world is. The Bible says the world is the lust of the flesh, sensual or causing lust, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Is it outward adorning, accentuating the form, or does it conceal our nakedness and our body? Is it effeminate, or does it clearly express and differentiate between masculine and feminine? Is it costly, high-end brands, or simple, serviceable apparel? Does it cover the glory? For the woman, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15 says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." For man, Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength." Are we bringing glory to ourselves, or are we hiding our glory and pointing to God, that God would be glorified? Another checkbox or principle: is it meek and quiet, or loud and with a high look? Does it communicate or identify with a position or status that is ungodly or godly? And the last one, does it differ from my parents? And on that last one, it's not that everything has to be exactly like our parents, but if it's not same as our parents, I think we should have clear reasons why. And it should be not different just for the sake of being different. I pondered how to communicate. I wrestled with how to share this message, because, well, I don't know. If I saw a message titled like this, I might have some questions in my gut. What's this going to be about? Right? I want to clarify that this message is not a standard. This is for each of us as fathers to evaluate where we are. It's for us to think about. It's to stir our thoughts, to bring our thoughts to the Word of God. and to evaluate the choices that we have made and that we are making. So I want to say up front here, I am very open for any questions at any time, for pushback, feedback, critique. This is about a discussion. So, did I see you say that? Again, the heart of this message is that we would remember, be reminded of the power that our choices, how powerful the message is of the things we do outside of just speaking. We communicate a strong message. So what we're going to do is, the first part here, I'm going to go through and I'm going to show you a picture of an individual, and I want you to just tell me what that person is or what he does. See if this works. Anyone have any idea? Just say it. Prisoner. Oh, I got it right. Who is he?
Farmer.
Up, oh, got it right. Who is he? Police officer. Got it right. Who is he?
Cowboy.
Got it right. Who is he? A doctor. Got it right. Who is he? Oh, gave you a clue. Who is this? A vet? UPS driver. How do you know he's not a FedEx driver? Who is this?
Football player.
Who is this?
A businessman.
Who is this?
Cool dude.
Stockbroker, cool dude, salesman. Yeah. Who are these ladies?
Nurses.
Who is this person? A high priest. Isn't that amazing? I wrote the words up there yesterday, and you got every one of them same as I did. Now, how did you know? How did you know? Is it because the clothes they're wearing identifies them with an occupation? What about the clothes that we wear? Does it have any effect, any power as to what people say? Now, God gave the high priests very detailed instructions on what the high priest should wear. And I don't need to read that, if anybody wants a copy, but it talks everything about, you know, from him, what he has on his head, why he has the gold there, the breastplate, bells on his robe, everything in very specific details. For some reason, God didn't see it important to have that level of instruction for the rest of the children of Israel. To say that your shirt must be a certain color. His robe was blue, and he was to wear white linen, not some other color linen. But God gave us the principles. Is it worldly? Does it separate us from the world? Let me see where I can put this. Is it adorning? Does it cover the glory? Is it meek and quiet? So, this next section, I want to look at some words from the Bible. Isaiah 3, verse 16 says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Do you get the picture of the daughters of Zion? Haughty, wanton. If we look at the word wanton, it means wandering from moral rectitude, licentious, dissolute, indulging in sensuality without restraint, such as men grown wanton by prosperity. Let's look at a couple more words. Some more words in our vocabulary lesson. Proverbs 21 verse 4. And high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wickedness is, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look and a proud heart. Again, Psalms 101 verse 5. Whosoever privately slandereth his neighbor, I will cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Proverbs 6 verse 16. These things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. High looks, haughty, proud, rebellious, lust of the flesh, wanton. And then the Bible also talks about shamefacedness, sobriety, joy, peace, being chaste, not adorning with outward apparel. So we're going to go through some more images, and I'd like for you to consider what they are communicating. Does that communicate anything in the line of holiness, godliness, or is it haughtiness? What do we see? I want to be me. Is it a proud look? Is there rebellion? What's going on with this guy? Is there any outward adorning? Did it communicate anything? Was there a difference? Was there a graduation? Just be you. This is something that is a big challenge in all those pictures that we saw. A lot of what we saw there comes from this very thing. And I found this quote from a church leader, Mark Sayer, in Australia. And he helpfully sums up several of the beliefs that swirl around in an expressive individualistic society. Self-expression. Individualistic expression. I am an individual and I... So I want to read these beliefs that swirl around us and they're everywhere in society. It's beliefs that are very, very strong. Are they in the church at all? This is one belief. The highest good is individual freedom, happiness, self-definition, and self-expression. People believe that the highest good is when they can express themselves for who they are. Another belief, number two, traditions, religions, received wisdom, regulations, and social ties that restrict individual freedom and happiness and self-definition and self-expression must be reshaped, deconstructed, and destroyed. Does that sound familiar at all? Another belief, about expressive individualism. Just be you. The world will inevitably improve as the scope of individual freedom grows. It's a belief that's out there. Technology, in particular the internet, will motor this progression towards utopia. This will really be it as the scope of our individual freedoms grow. The primary social ethic is tolerance of everyone's self-defined quest for individual freedom and self-expression. Any deviation from this ethic of tolerance is dangerous and must not be tolerated. Therefore, social justice is less about economic or class equality and more about issues of equality relating to individual identity, self-expression, and personal autonomy. I will do what I want to do. I will do when I want to do it. And I think this connects back very well to the teaching we heard on music, where a lot of that is promoted. The power of music and the intention of those artists, that's exactly what they wanted. That's exactly the beliefs that they wanted to create with the music, was, I'll be me, you be you, let's both be cool. I'll express myself. And anybody that stands in the way of that is just, they don't understand, they don't get it. Because once everybody has this level of freedom, then everything will be as good as it can be. That'll be the best. I think I'll leave the last three there. They don't necessarily apply as much here. Just be you. For this next section, and, you know, in 1 Peter 5, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So, you all, we all, are God's heritage. And as elders, we are not to be lording it over you. So I could put some pictures up here, and I could say, this is the way you dress from now on. This is modest, and this is the way you're going to dress from now on. Would that have a sense of lording it over you? I think so. And that's not the heart today. The heart is that it would stir up a desire for holiness. That it would remind us that holiness in our lives and something that is not in alignment with the principles of the Word of God creates a dissonance. It creates something that's not harmonious. It creates something powerless. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to go through here, and I have these, you can't read these slides. So maybe just make a note or whatever in your mind. We're going to go through here very fast. I'm not going to make really comments on this, okay? But I want you to be noticing these images. And I want you to consider, where is it? Which image is it? And what we're going to do is we're going to go through men's clothing. Maybe it's women's clothing first. I'm not sure which one is first. We're going to go through a number of different segments of apparel. And I want you to feel what is being communicated to you by these images. And then I want you to consider, where is it that you feel arrest? That you feel, that's in alignment. That's good. Fathers especially, take note here. It's our responsibility to lead our families in a clear place. I forgot about this. Unfortunately, this happened to me here just last week. Quite a humbling experience. Anybody recognize what that is? What just happened? Somebody was in trouble, got pulled over, flashing lights. Who do you expect to show up? This guy, right? Now, what if instead of this guy, it's this guy? Would you give him your license? Would you give him in your insurance? Would you? No? Come on, he's a businessman. I mean, he's dressed up. He's sharp. I would surely think he's honest. He probably just forgot to change into the right suit this morning. Yeah? Maybe you could persuade me. I mean, if he were really good, he might be able to persuade me that he actually has the authority. He actually is authorized to stop me. But what if it were this guy? Would you give him your license? No. Do you see that it's a very, very mixed message? When you go from this to this, those don't go together. They just don't go together. Well, they go together. Yes, they do go together, but not in the sense of having authority. In the back seat, that's right. You put the prisoner in the back seat. He's not the one that comes to pick you up. All right. These are places we don't like to go, but we are grateful for hospitals when we do need them. I think all of us would attest to that. Now, if you got to the hospital and you saw this person, you'd probably be quite comfortable with that. Yes? What if you saw this person? Would you take his advice? Would you allow them to put you to sleep so he can have open heart surgery on you? I don't think so. Maybe if he had some credentials and basketball or football was just his hobby. And he just, you know, this is an emergency he got in there. But nah, probably not. Any chance with this guy? No chance. It's just, if you come to the hospital and he's there, it's a wrong message. It's a complete confusion of communication. Doesn't belong there. So, inside and out. Jesus said, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is in within the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also." Now, if this individual came to church, has been a Christian for 10, 15 years, is that a clear message? Maybe getting a little bit more comfortable, a bit more in alignment, maybe? Huh? Are you considering the principles of modesty? Does it cover the body? Is it accentuating the form? Is it something that is effeminate or masculine? All those different principles that we talked about. What is it communicating to you? And now the contrast. These ladies on the left are not holy just because that's how they're dressed. Just because they're dressed that way does not mean that they are now holy. But this woman is not holy. In fact, maybe a good way to say it is that dressing does not make us holy. But the way we dress or don't dress can make us unholy. And it's a reflection of what's inside. Does the heart matter? Yes, it does. And what's in the heart will manifest itself. Oh my. Maybe I should have worn that to preach the message today. Remember the principle of covering the glory in young men is their strength. Where is the strength of a young man? In his arms, in his chest, in his legs. We go from here to here to here. Is there much difference? Are you seeing the differences? Are you seeing the contrast? Are you recognizing the communication? That's a good example of, I don't know, is that a boy or a girl? Are you following the principles? Are you thinking about the principles? Are there principles that are being violated? Does it have a high look by any chance at all? Are we concerned about what God likes and what God hates? And we'll look at sisters and their glory. Is it covered? Again, I don't want to make judgment of where any of these people are, or when we see people that maybe are here, I don't think it's right for us to judge and say, oh, they're holy or they're not holy. But it's about the direction that they're going. It's about the life that they're living. And if there's a mixed message, if there's a dissonance, it'll bring confusion. I'll just refer to the message that John had on the veil. The word itself very strongly indicates a flowing, something that hangs, something that flows. And I would encourage you to listen to that. And if you have any questions on any of these things, I'm happy to share some other resources. Oh. How would you all feel if I said that's the house I'm planning to build? James? You're moving in with me? Oh, who's moving in with me? Yeah. Maybe all the poor people. You get the feel where there's just no question. It's just, where is that? Now, just because you lived in a house like this doesn't make you holy. This is exactly the same truck, obviously a different color. Oh, the thing dropped down a bit. Follow the shepherd, not the herd. When we're following the shepherd, we should be surrounded by a herd. There should be many of us walking together as we follow the shepherd. But let's be careful that we don't follow the herd. Let's be careful that we are looking at the Word of God. Yes, we're done with that. That we are looking at the Word of God and at the principles of His Word. And let's make choices that resonate, that harmonize with the words that we speak. If we say Jesus came for the poor and the brokenhearted, but we live in a palace, what does that communicate? When someone reads about being modest, about not fashioning ourselves according to our former lusts, but there's not a clear separation from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, from the pride of life, how is God's word to minister? How is the Spirit to move? So I think it's important that we remember we are influenced, or we have the, it's very easy for us to be influenced by the society around us and what they believe. To believe that I'm an individual, why would you have a right to ask me to do something that this is just me, this is just who I am? And how does that look in the church then? How do we as a church? And this is my question for you as a church. So I am to be your shepherd, and I delight to be, because it's a work of love, it's a joy. Not to be a lord over you, neither is John. Can't do that where we have one shepherd and one lord. We're all together as brothers and sisters. How do we talk to each other? If we smell a bit of haughtiness, if we smell a bit of pride, if we are concerned about individualistic self-expression, how should we communicate to each other? How do you want me to communicate to you? How do we keep the church pure and spotless? So let's communicate. Let's talk. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have anything on your heart, let's talk about it. And there's, maybe I'll just take a minute or two to put this out to stir more conversation that maybe we can have more on a private level. But I think it's very important for husbands and wives to understand the difference in the way we think and perceive things and to talk about those things. I think I'll just take a minute and just let you know what I'm talking about. If I decided that I'm going to spend time and care for one of the sisters in church, or maybe I just take turns and take them out for coffee. Just once a year. Not much, not a big deal. How many of you would be really, really, really concerned?
Like everybody.
Right. That's a problem. Why is it a problem? Because the way women think, that would be very, well, when we as husbands want to love our wives, we spent time with them. We care for them. We care about what is important to them. And so if another man does that, that would be very sensual. That would be very, may I use the word, arousing for a wife. When a woman is not being cared for by her husband, she is vulnerable to another man caring for her. Why am I saying this? How is it then okay that when men who don't think like women do are very visual and are aroused by what they see, when women are not careful, and especially godly women, and please understand me, I'm not excusing men of guarding their eyes and of being holy, but I'm putting this out to say, if it's not okay for a man to spend time to love, to care, then it's also not okay for godly women to dress in any way that would allure a man. Does that make sense? And if there's any further questions or more conversation, I think it's what I want to express is if that is not a conversation that you have had as fathers with your daughters or as parents with your daughters, if you as a couple aren't there where you understand those things and have been able to communicate them, you will be blessed to do that. And I would highly encourage you. We communicate a message. And we have a Lord and a Savior who is a victor over sin and over death, over the gates of hell. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. We have the power by the blood of Jesus Christ to take down the gates of hell. Hell is to be destroyed. That's our mission. It's not to stand here and hope that the gates of hell don't open in on us. It's for us to go out, and the gates of hell can't stand. We have that Lord and that Savior. That's the message that we have. He is able to set the captives free. Those who are bound by the spirits of darkness can be set free just like that. That's the Savior we serve. That's the gospel we have. Why shall we taint it with anything questionable? That's my heart. Let's make sure that the message is clear. Let's make sure that the message harmonizes and that there's no power lost for the church to break down the gates of hell, to save souls, because I want to be I, because I have a high look or a haughty spirit, or because I am rebellious. But let's encourage one another as we see the day approaching when we're all going to be clothed with glory if we keep his commandments here, if we believe, if we faint not, we'll be clothed with such glory that we can't comprehend. So let's go, brothers and sisters. Let's follow that heavenly calling. God bless.